Good morning. Welcome to this beautiful day in this house of love. Our scripture reading is from Luke 6, 17 through 26. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed of you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Join me in prayer. Holy God, as we continue our worship through the Word, may our hearts and minds be open to what the Spirit would say. Amen. Today and next week, we are looking at excerpts from what Bible scholars call the Sermon on the Plain. You may be more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, which comes out of Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew, the story goes something like this. Jesus calls fishermen to become disciples. And after calling of the fishermen, Jesus heals the sick throughout the region of Galilee. As Jesus is healing, a large crowd begins to follow him, and Jesus takes one look at this growing crowd and decides to make his way up a nearby mountain. His disciples follow him, and after finding a nice place to sit, Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are first. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so on. That's Matthew. Luke's Sermon on the Plain differs rather curiously from Matthew's account. After the call of Simon, James, and John, Luke introduces a series of stories in which Jesus performs more miracles and calls additional disciples. More people witness healings and miracles. More people begin to follow Jesus. While healing and gathering his disciples, Jesus regularly goes to a mountainside to pray. And on one particular night, Jesus spends the entire night in quiet reflection, in prayer. And the next morning, he gathers all of his disciples, and there are a lot of them at this point. Jesus went from three fishermen following him around to what is now a great crowd. And from this great crowd, Jesus selects 12 disciples and sets them apart as apostles. With the 12 selected, the entire group of disciples is joined by a great multitude. People from the region who are gathering to hear Jesus speak and to be healed. Luke makes a point to say that Jesus comes down with them to a level place. This is not a pyramid set up with the disciples and Jesus above the crowds. Jesus is right there in the midst of the disciples and the multitude of people who have showed up to be healed. These are people who are beyond the aid of the current system, who have diseases which may carry social stigma, and just to be around or near some of them would be taboo. And yet Jesus and his disciples are there on level ground among the diseased and the stigmatized. As Jesus heals the last of those in the crowd, he looks upon his disciples and proceeds with the blessings and the woes. Both Matthew and Luke make a point to say that it is the disciples who are on the receiving end of Jesus' words. Jesus does not say these things to the multitude. He says these things to the ones who have been set apart, who have said they want to be like Jesus, to aid Jesus in his work. From the 12 apostles right over to the gal that joined up yesterday, they too are on a level plane. Their ministry is just beginning. And Jesus says to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who weep, who are hated. Woe to you who are rich, who are full, who are laughing now, who are well liked." That's a little different from Matthew's version. Matthew's Jesus gives us beatitudes that are more theological. In some places, Matthew's words are downright esoteric. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Luke doesn't have time for esoteric language. Luke's words are tangible, embodied, no nonsense, right to the point. The sermon on the plain is real talk for a group of leaders who have no idea what they're getting into. Luke's Jesus begins with the blessings and the woes because it is a crucial reorientation that is necessary for understanding the assignment. Blessed are you if you are suffering under the current system. Blessed are you who are systematically disregarded by society because things are going to change. Blessed are you because you know intimately how and where the change is needed. The kingdom vision is going to turn it all upside down. What is valued in the current system is not valued in the divine system. People are going to be confused when you do not abide by the established value system. People are going to be triggered and angry when you start demanding a new way, a way of equity and compassion. But we will persevere. The reward will be great. Woe to you who have benefited from the current system. Woe to you because all you have come to understand about the way things work in the world is going to be dismantled. Woe to you because what you have had going is pretty great and things are going to change. Woe to you because it is going to be so very hard to give up the physical and mental comfort that you have come to know. Jesus also talks about a great reward in heaven for those who live by the divine system. What is that? There's a lot of talk out there about what reward in heaven means. Much of that is informed by specific interpretations of Paul and the book of Revelation. Some of it is just extra biblical lore altogether. But in general, most of it is very literal. There's talk of reward in the form of crowns encrusted with jewels. There's talk of reward in the form of earning eternal life by doing all the right things. There's talk of reward in the form of getting the fanciest room in heaven. I don't know what that would look like, but that's an interesting idea. And the list goes on. But I don't think that Luke is referring to any of that. Luke uses the Greek word misthas, what we read as reward. Misthas suggests reward in the way that fruit is a natural reward of attention to and tending of the earth. The reward is the result of the weeding and the watering and the fertilizing, which yields sustenance. You can know next to nothing about agriculture and know that the reward is not for yourself alone. When it is avocado season, mango season, papaya season, bags of these fruits will just appear from your friends, your aunties, your uncles. When it is time to harvest, there is too much for any one person. Fruit is meant to be given away. That is what nature intended. The word misthas does all kinds of work for our imaginations. It is a literal reference to physical and embodied reality of tending plants that will bear sustenance for everyone. Luke's Jesus uses this word in the context that suggests that the divine system means fruit for all, not just the people that own the trees. The reward is also in heaven. Heaven, which can be understood as that spiritual and inner plane where we do our inner work, where we commune with that which is greater than ourselves, where we reorient toward the figurative weeding and watering and fertilizing of our inner selves that naturally results in growth, where we resolve to make conscious choices to enact the divine system of justice and equity and compassion in the real world, in the world here and now, where we root in and hold fast in the midst of disorientation, knowing that the ground will settle underfoot once again. The fruits we experience from this inner place become actions that we take to grow real and sustaining fruit for the world. Fruit in the form of healthcare, fruit in the form of affordable housing, of welfare expansion, of prison reform, and even literal, actual fruit for empty, hungry bellies. Reward in heaven becomes heaven on earth. For those who would seek to be set apart, to be like Jesus, this is the assignment. It is not just standing around on a plane and watching miracles or sitting in a church pew quietly believing all the things that we think we're supposed to believe. The assignment is action. It means all the literal and figurative work necessary to yield fruit for the self and fruit for the world. May the seeds of heaven on earth be planted in us today. Amen and amen.